Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 298 on October the 14th. Right here in Greenville, Illinois.
And we are the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, there we said it.
We did.
Now, almost all of the housekeeping out of the way, but not quite.
Oh, there's more.
We had a ball this weekend. It was just an amazing weekend with great friends and great art.
Mm-hmm.
And
great food.
Great food. Yeah, it was our big weekend. Two big events in one weekend right here at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, the official home of the Owl Creek Gazette, Creekside with Don and Jan podcast.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. So we had a good turnout for the folks that came by and looked at the owl project that we had, and there was plenty of participation there. And that
it was a wall full of owl-inspired art.
Yeah, and it was it ran a gamut of types of art, you know, and media, and it was fun.
And ages of participants.
Yeah.
So we had
young Miss Self from Vera? We just figured it out. I think she said she was a senior in high school.
Senior in high school. And let's back up a little bit. We had an adult division and a teen division. Mm-hmm. And from there, we wanted to give first, second, and third prizes. And then we also added some prizes in the mix of that, too, or some awards, I should say. Charles Hudson won first for his... What was the title of his owl art?
And it looked like an owl one, huh? What?
Yeah, exactly. And it was really bright colored and vivid, and just your eye went right to it. So Charles is from Vandalia, and he's been involved in other things. We've done last year before our autumn dinner. We had a book festival, and Charles came over and was a vendor as an author. So he's got his hands in all kinds of talent and artwork, and it's just nice to see someone who's artistic in a lot of ways and expresses themselves.
And enjoys himself, too.
Yeah. So it was nice that he won first prize in the adult division. And then our own Gary Adolph, who writes for the magazine, took second and third in the adult division. And the nice part about this, when judges came to judge, no names were on the artwork. So they were looking at this, you know, brand new, no preferences by who was who and nothing like that. So it was really fun to see them choose what they did for their reasons without knowing who anybody was.
Yeah, it was completely anonymous. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what was going on in the walls. Mm-hmm. And it was surprising that we had such a marvelous turnout for what it is, because there are not that many people out there that are number one artists, number two that have an owl in their cadre.
Well, that's true. Some people could pull from what they'd already done. Some people got busy. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, Madison Self was the high school student who won first in the teen division. And I think her grandmother spotted the information in the Owl Creek Gazette and said, you should do this. And I think, you know, Madison was looking at her schedule with school and all her extracurricular activities. Could she come up with something? She was able to, and not only then took first in the teen division, but best in show out of all the artwork, which was really fun to see a young person that would just, you know, sit down and say, I'm going to do this and do it successfully.
And how talented do you have to be in order to pull that off? Mm-hmm. She did really, really well. And it was a beautiful print. And in the November issue of the magazine. We'll actually have it printed, but I think you'll probably pop it up on Facebook someplace, won't you?
Well, I've already got a lot of the artwork up on Facebook, either on my personal Jan Stover page or on our Owl Creek Gazette page or the Owl Creek Art Project event page. So it's pretty
Imagine that.
Right. But we'll get the rest of it up on the website as well, because when you see it in the magazine, it'll be fun to read about the people and their art-inspired work and why they do what they do. But there's nothing like seeing things that are in color, so you can go to our website for that.
And when you see this one in color, it'll still be black and white.
Right. Madison's was black and white. But Charles's is in vivid color, and so we're happy to go ahead and do that. And then Anna Jackson took second place in the teen division, and hers is a colorful picture, too, so that will be up. But it was just really fun to see all ages participate. And then we wanted to say we decided to have, since we had judges – do their own thing, and that was Eileen Hathaway and Bill Walker, both from Greenville here. We wanted to give our own Owl Creek Award, and then we wanted a People's Choice Award to be given, because we wanted everyone that came and viewed the art to have an opportunity to express who they felt was the most appealed to them. And so that went to both those awards, went to the same person. That was Kitty Crawford from Litchfield, Illinois.
And, you know, it's not to belittle the judges at all whenever you do something like that. Judges judge on multiple criteria that most people don't look at. And one of those criteria, of course, is composition, its form, its function, its color, its you know, did they comply with the requirements of the show. And whenever you have a People's Choice, that only applies directly to your heart. Do you like it?
Absolutely. Yeah. What jumps off the wall at you for whatever reason.
Right.
So that's why I wanted the – and that's another way to bring people in to the – to feel involved, feel like they participate in the show.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to do that. And then we had a whole nother section that we brought down.
Another section?
Another section.
Yes. A-N-O-T-H-E-R or N-U-T-H-E-R.
Not a nuttier, another. I don't even know what I said wrong or right.
It's okay. We can talk about it later. Okay. But anyhow, yeah, the section that you're talking about is the section that was what has been given to us over the years. It's amazing what just shows up.
And well, our readers are so gracious, and we hear often that people can't see owls now without thinking of us.
Well, that's by design.
That's right. And so we had a lot of nice artwork, and that is – I've had that up on Facebook. That'll be in the magazine and, again, on our website, owlcreekgazette.com as well, because that was a really nice – and, again, such a variety. We had work on canvas. We had work on burlap, pen and ink, paper.
Yeah.
You know, a 3D owl made out of folding paper.
Yeah. Our construction paper was folded up in a just a certain way that wound up interlocking to each other, you know, done for us 8 years ago,
Not that long ago.
It was right after we first opened.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
It gave a good sampling of what people have gifted us, and we've really appreciated that, and it's added to our own personal collection, which is, of course, owlsome.
Yeah. You got some mileage out of that last night, too.
I did. This is another thing we do at the dinner. First, we, you know, the food is brought in, and everyone's commenting about how tasty it was. We started out with an asparagus and lobster salad that was really fresh and light, and a nice lemon dressing, and just so tasty.
A lemon vinaigrette.
Yes. Yeah. And then we moved from that to the main course, and that included the corned beef and potato and cabbage. Mm-hmm. And on the table when people came in was also rye bread and then a pesto that Roxanne had made out of olives.
Yeah, an olive pesto.
And the reason we chose that is that and we've mentioned this before, but I don't know if we talked about the pesto specifically. Since we chose the menu by what menus and food was served in the Little Women book, the series Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. Joe, one of the main characters, of course, had tried to fix a meal and failed. And the only thing that she could serve that, you know, wasn't burnt or troubled or whatever was bread and olives and butter. So
rye bread and olives.
So we elaborated on that and we're at least we're inspired by that. And then Roxanne made the really good pesto. And by the way, thank you to Roxanne Bola and John Wrench, who as OCG chef and sous chef whipped up all this wonderful food for us to be able to serve.
Yeah, no kidding. And I think several people told them last night, independent of us telling them, you need to open up a catering business.
Right. They said this was one of the best meals that they've ever had that they fixed. And they've been involved in, you know, what we've been doing here cooking-wise, meal-wise for a long time. Yeah. So that would be great if they could do something like that.
And maybe they will.
And maybe then we'd have to get on their schedule. For next year.
Oh, man. Better get in there
down.
Now.
That's right.
So, there goes the price.
So then the main course was followed by the dessert, and that was blancmange. And it was really good. We had talked about that on the podcast before as being kind of a, what, vanilla pudding, custard, yogurty kind of thing. But it was better than all that.
And freshened up with a strawberry compote that they put in there and whipped cream. Oh, my God.
It was great.
It was marvelous.
And then
it was marvelous.
It was. People just couldn't get enough. And I do want to say thank you to Tristan, who was, she works full-time down at Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, but we had asked her if she could stay over and help us, and she did, and she was a great server, and it really was nice to have her on hand. You could ask her for anything, and she'd just zoom back and pick up what you needed, and that was really nice to have
It was well-needed service, and she did it so well, and she knows what she was doing, and then we stuck in there, and we knocked out all the dishes afterward, and they're loaded up in the car now.
That's right. But what we started to say was kind of get a feel for what we do at the dinners. After everybody came in and looked at all the art and we all visited a bit and then they sat down and had that three-course meal that we were talking about. And then before we had the presentation by Angie Choot.
There you go.
We kept up with the tradition that Bill Johnson had started for us at our autumn dinners. And that is that everybody goes around the room and tells how they got to know us or the Owl Creek Gazette or, you know, what the connection is with us. And, you know, it's fun because when you start out, we had that first time we did this 5 years ago, we had like 30 in the room, maybe 25 or 30. Last night we had over 40. So, you know, that expands that time frame as everybody talks about that connection that we've built. And some of the people here have been coming to our dinners and, you know, all 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some have been reading the magazine since October 2011, the very first issue.
That's right.
Some people were brand new to not the magazine, but our events.
Mm-hmm. And we even gave two sisters that came down here a place to meet that's sort of halfway in between.
Right.
One sister lives in the Breeze area, and the other sister lives in Hillsborough. And they went, well, this is a great place for us to meet up whenever we need to. So
I loved that idea, didn't you?
Yeah, it was perfect.
So we gave them a meeting place, and now they can continue that, you know, through whenever they need to get together. That's just kind of nice.
And they can pick up an Elk Creek Gazette. But
they can. And people really enjoyed the coffee. That was part of the meal, tea and coffee. And, in fact, I noticed that people were actually purchasing coffee from Adam Brothers while they were here. So that was always nice. We like to see when sales can occur and people can leave with a product they really like.
Yeah.
But it was so heartwarming to hear what those people had to say about their connection with the magazine, what it means to them, how the friendships that they've grown from that magazine, because we really are a community. There's no doubt about it. When you experience what we experienced last night, that was the Owl Creek community at its finest.
You got some cool little gifts, too, that were completely unexpected and out of the blue. You got a beautiful little necklace. A wrist.
It was a bracelet.
A wrist necklace.
That's really good. You can tell. We're tired people.
My tang is hung in. I'm just... I got nothing left hardly.
Well, we'll just a few more minutes of the podcast, and then we can go home and we won't go to sleep.
But. No, I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch 60 Minutes for once.
Okay, you can do that.
I'm going to.
So anyway, Linda Cole gave me that bracelet. It's leather and sterling silver of an owl, and it had the words hope on it. And mm-hmm. I loved it. It was just perfect. It was, you know, silver and gray, and I had on a lot of black and white and gray
it
last
fit right
night.
In, it
did.
It?
And then Lois Holthouse gave me an owl ring, really attractive ring. And so I'm sitting there with all my jewelry on, and I've got my owl scarf on, and I'm, you know, I was getting more and more appropriate as the night went on.
And I got from Lois a set of five radio programs on vinyl
mm-hmm.
from 1977, October the 24th through October the 28th. I think that's right. The Ralph Emery Show from Nashville, Tennessee, that mm-hmm. was produced, you know, for radio stations around the United States. And in the 70s, that's how programs were delivered. They would print them on records, mm-hmm. you know, and there was no way around getting out of the format that they wanted you to follow, because the program started, there was a break in the middle, and then there was a break at the tail when you had to flip the record over. That's what the radio station would do then in the time that it took to run an album of length, an album length program, and it was an hour long.
So
when all said and done,
the artist would prepare this and send it to the radio station, and mm-hmm. then the radio station would insert their advertisements.
Yeah, they would. And that was, you know, you're spinning a record live on the air,
mm-hmm.
Ostensibly, and you've played a commercial ahead of time, and then time to play a commercial in the middle, there would be a hole. You re-cue the record, and you'd stop the record, you know, while the commercial's playing, and then as soon as the commercial's over, you fired the vinyl back up again the way it went. And when you hit the tail, you hit the commercials, you took the record out, you flipped it over while the commercial's playing, you are re-cueing the record, and whenever the commercial stops, it's start the record back up, and away you go again until you hit the middle again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was impossible to get it wrong, because one side of the record says start here and the other side of the record says second half.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a neat program. And the one that I listened to, the first one that I picked up and started playing was Conway Twitty. It was on it, so mm-hmm. that was kind of cool.
Yeah, just the whole thing, to have someone give you vinyl.
I take that back. It wasn't Conway Twitty. It was Porter Wagoner.
Oh, yes, it
Porter
was.
Porter Wagoner.
I heard that in the background. That's right. And to just have someone give you albums. How cool is that?
And five albums with old songs on it. And the albums have been played one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and for folks who may not know, the reason Lois would give you something like that is you two worked at the same time.
WILY WRXX. That's for you, Lois.
In Centralia. Yeah, she said, Don, just say the call letters one time for me.
WILY.
You and your radio voice.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago, and that was fun.
Well, and then we got another gift that was really a surprise. Angie Chute. That was doing her presentation as Louisa May Alcott, and that was really fun to have her kind of slip in and out of character. She would answer questions as Angie, but then she would also or give us more information on Louisa May, but then she'd go in and read the journals and diaries, and, mm-hmm. and she'd take on that persona.
Well, she said that whenever you asked her to do this, she was actually in Italy and responded to you on through Facebook Messenger. And while she was there, she decided that it would be cool if she picked up this particular book you're about to talk about.
Well, it's just Louisa May Alcott's Little Women in Italian. And I'm not sure if she was actually on her vacation, but whether it was before or after, when she saw this book, she knew that she was going to be speaking at our event. And it was just, you know, she said she couldn't not get it. So she handed it to us, and she said, I want to present this to Don and Jan. And we laughed and said, we'll read this tonight. And someone said, do you speak Italian? Nope, we don't speak it or read it.
We're going to have to learn it tonight.
We are. But it was just, it's talk about a keepsake. I mean, that's really nice.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see something that you know that if you went and picked up your copy in
that's
English.
That's true, yeah.
You would
side
be able,
by side.
You would be mm-hmm. able to look at them side by side, and they should be, you know, should approximate themselves very closely to the original.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last word in the last paragraph of the last page of the book should be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, if I'm not mistaken, that was also a reference to Louisa May Alcott talking about the next issue, the next installment, so that people would buy it, right?
Right.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, we'll definitely put those books side by side and compare them and see if we can decipher the Italian courtesy of the English. But
and you can also just type it into Google and you can see what it is, too.
Well, but it's also nice. It shows books that are American classics are also then translated and become classics in other countries, too. Mm-hmm. So that book was read worldwide and still has a following, very similar to Little House on the Prairie and Laura Ingalls Wilder. Those books were shared through generations and countries and, you know, languages. And it's just nice we've been able to kind of promote both those classics through our book clubs and through our autumn dinners.
Yeah. And it was nonetheless, no matter, you know, what really kind of got me was how everybody got together to meet each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about people that are from diverse, you know, backgrounds and experiences that all get to share their experiences experiencing the stuff that we put out. And they love it. And it's just heartwarming. There's no other way to say it.
It is. So the presentation after Angie did her thing, then people asked questions and the conversation continued. And I noticed when I said, well, that concludes the, you know, 5th annual Owl Creek Gazette autumn dinner, and everyone applauded. It was just a natural kind of thing. And then they all wanted to stay and visit with each other, not just with us. They, you know, went from table to table and everybody shared their experiences. And it was interesting. We had people from so many different communities and they were then meeting each other. Oh, I'm from Breeze. Well, I'm from Breeze. I didn't know you lived there. And it just was really nice.
Let's meet at Wally's.
So if we can build that community like we've always talked about and like we continue to see grow, that's like, and you pointed out, it's heartwarming. The whole experience was,
and yeah, we're going to do it again. It'll be different this time. Next time,
well, we tweak it. We always tweak it, and we have to come up with a theme. And we had several people say to us, "Would you ever consider doing a spring dinner rather than maybe one of our big events, but a spring dinner?" And you know, we could even have like an evening with Don and Jan as a dinner in the spring.
And we put real springs in it.
Absolutely.
Right,
we can spring forward.
I like Girl Scouts in my cookies.
Girl Scout cookies, and I get it, Don.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I don't know for sure that we'll do that, but we're certainly thinking about that. It would be great. We're talking about releasing a cookbook. We're talking about releasing our anthologies. All that would be a nice thing to do in the spring. And then keep our autumn dinner where we have a guest speaker. So, we're going to tweak all this and think about things, but we shared a lot of our future plans with the people who attended the dinner and got some feedback. The cookbook ideas seemed to really resonate with people. You could see them, oh, yes. Heck, we could even have a dinner that featured recipes from the Owl Creek Gazette cookbook. Because we've pulled from other cookbooks before. Why not pull from our own?
Why not? Because it is, of course, our own.
Absolutely. And in that, we could have the phenomenal pea pie.
Oh, yeah. And the pea patchy pie.
That's our cat, folks. We will not be eating. Well, poor Patches is long gone anyway. But the phenomenal pea pie was a recipe that one of our advertisers, Bill Wetter from the Marine Coin Company over in Marine, Illinois, gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved it. And Linda Cole, who was here last night, is an avid baker and cook extraordinaire in her own kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she said, I challenged her, could you make a phenomenal pea pie?
She's just to see about how phenomenal it could get. The only thing she couldn't do was to use persimmons. She didn't have any persimmons.
Or pawpaws.
Pawpaws. That was right.
You're right.
I knew it was a fruit that started with a P.
And what made the phenomenal pea pie have that name was that every ingredient had to start with a P. So you had to do a lot of searching to come up with, you know, they used like potato flour and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So this pie that Linda made, kind of her own tweak version.
Porcupine would be hard to come by.
Porcupine would be. I don't think that was in the pie, but you know, anybody's phenomenal pea pie can be their own. That would be more of a savory pie, I would think.
You would think, yeah. That's It would have to be a pot pie.
It could be a pot pie.
Porcupine pot pie. Maybe we could do that. No.
I don't know. We could have a variety of phenomenal pea pies from savory to sweet. This is going downhill fast.
We're drunch punk.
But anyway, we got to recall when Linda made that and brought it for us and how we said it was so hearty. And she said to me, I hadn't even thought of that pie since, you know, we made it and ate it. So those are the kind of memories that we were able to share with each other. And then everyone took an interest in the phenomenal pea pie. And each conversation went like that.
Yeah.
So it was really nice.
Well, to sit around and like I said, though, you know, we're talking about people from diverse backgrounds, mm-hmm. you know, all over from Indiana to St. Louis mm-hmm. and from Southern Illinois to Central Illinois. We had people in this little room at Adam Brothers and the place was packed. That's mm-hmm. And just it loads your heart up with the wonderful feeling of friendship that you can get whenever you resonate with people. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we're not rock stars or any of that junk. It's just, we're just people, you know, and we love talking to people. We love seeing people. And I'm so happy. I'm so gosh darn happy that everybody had a good time and that we got the opportunity to do this.
I am too. And when people were leaving, they were leaving with smiles on their faces and they were leaving still conversing with people as they went out the front door.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, that does our hearts good. And we also had fun. One more highlight of the evening is that as people had their coffee, we had brought down two coffee cups that had an owl on them. And midstream, we said, okay, everybody stop and look at your coffee cup. If yours has an owl on it, you are a winner. And two people, of course, did. And we gave away one of the pumpkins that you had carved.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave away a bottle of Winking Owl wine. And so that's just another fun, kind of lively, personalized thing. It was, you know, it was not just a pumpkin that was carved. It had an owl and a creek on it.
Yeah. And that's the reason that we got the wine is because it had the owl and the creek on it.
Well, Winking Owl.
Winking Owl,
right,
yeah.
Right. So that ideally when people leave, then they take that memory away with them and that item that reminds them of, you know, where they've been and why they came.
Yeah, yeah. And I told the gentleman that got the pumpkin that the owl was still weeping a little bit in there because whenever you just skin the outside of them like that, the water is going to run out of
the moisture of the
moisture of the pumpkin is going to run out. So if you get home and you're sitting on your kitchen table, make sure it's got something underneath to catch it, or ask if you could borrow some hairspray and hit
and
it with a
blow
dryer seal it up mm-hmm. because that is one way to do it.
Well, I should say when you carved him, you didn't really carve like you're pointing out. You actually kind of skinned and reduced the outside layer. So
yeah, you take off the orange on the outside mm-hmm. to reveal the light yellow on the inside, and that's where the image is built is in that in the pith,
mm-hmm.
and that's P-I-T-H, folks,
mm-hmm.
and the. It just leaks until it's done leaking or seals up on its own.
Well, you know, it makes me think if the owl was leaking, it was like he was crying. So we had a teary-eyed owl, a weeping eye owl, and a winking eye owl.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, that's really a stretch. And that's for two people as tired as we are.
That's pretty good, huh?
Let's put this sucker to bed, okay?
So we want to say thanks to anybody and everybody who had anything to do with this past weekend, whether it's, you know, art participation, whether it's joining us for the dinner, whether it's helping prepare for the dinner. Whatever part that you played in this, you made our weekend, you made our week, and we can't thank you enough for being a part of the Owl Creek community. Now, next week, we don't know where we're going to be recording
from,
Don.
No, we don't know, because next week is our anniversary.
39 years, folks.
Right. Yeah, and we'll figure something out, but we're probably going to record this early.
We can record it early. and get away, or get away and take the equipment with us and record from who knows where. We don't even know where we're going to be, but we haven't been away for...
I don't think so.
Don doesn't want to record on our anniversary.
There's the end of that.
Let's say this. 299 will be released Sunday night. We just don't know when it's going to be recorded or where it's going to be from.
Exactly. Well, we'll figure it out, and that's sort of our problem. Y'all that's take right. care.
Talk to you later, folks.
Bye-bye.
Night.